Honestly, I tweet it so much that they're fucking bored of me.
I'm bored of you.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of FPL by Dummies. I'm Cam.
And I'm Tom.
And you join us after another farcical weekend of refereeing decisions. I'm absolutely not going to claim that as my own. Just seen it on Twitter. But game week six, VAR reared its ugly head again. And so did the low average score, because I think most people had an absolute stinker, unless your name's Tom Med.
Nope, they didn't.
Yeah. Smug prick.
this is honestly great time to be alive. Great time to be me. I fucking smashed it again into the top 5k. I did break into the top 2k halfway through the game week with Ivan Tony hitting that third beautiful goal. But lo and behold, I dropped down to just inside the top 5k. So sad times for
me.
Yeah.
Really.
Really bad, yeah.
Only a
75% increase in rank from just inside 20k to just inside 5k. So
whereas I dropped about 80k places.
Yeah, you did.
And just outside the top 350. So
what a time.
I was sat on like a maybe even getting on towards 100k place rise on Saturday night, and then Sunday just had no one do anything for me. But the thing is, I think even if Jesus had scored for me, I think he was over, was he over 100%?
It was like 90, it was like stupid, it was like 98 point something percent, so it'd be, it literally
like,
meant nothing.
It's not really going to do anything, so I'm just like, unless you had Brighton players, I don't think there were really many points on offer that would actually have kind of boosted your rank on Sunday. But
no.
Yeah, I guess as I just mentioned, should we start with the VAR decisions?
Yeah, I mean,
throwing it back 2 years ago to when it was every other week we were complaining about something, but
oh, it's so bad, isn't it? Just so bad. Which one do you want to start with? Which poor decision do you want to start with this weekend? Because there were so many.
Guess the one that makes the least sense is the Chelsea West Ham one. And I think you know it's bad when even Dermot Gallagher can't defend the referee and say, oh yeah, but, and throw some obscure piece of football law out there that would back up the referee's decision. He said, like, the referee had, like, the best view of it, made the call in the first place, then went over to the monitor and watched the same angle that he had before, and then decided that it was a foul. The thing is as well that Bowen didn't even like challenge Mendy for the ball. He just kind of hopped over him. And, you know, there was contact, but it wasn't a foul.
He quite clearly like saw he wasn't going to get to the second part and was just like, oh, just roll around on the floor, that'll help.
Yeah, I mean, just absolutely knew that, as you say, he didn't have the ball under control. So it was just like, what can I try and get out of this?
I wonder if Peter Walton was on BT Sport actually this weekend, because he definitely would have defended it. He is the most like, oh God, can't stand that man. I mean, we're getting off topic, but yeah, what a dickhead. it's just ridiculous. And then the Newcastle Palace one, I just don't understand it. Like, I don't understand. Like,
well, that one,
how can someone be pushed?
Was it?
That's the thing I don't understand. But how can you be pushed into the goalkeeper and then it be a foul? Which honestly, I don't understand anymore.
Well, I think as well, if you then go like another level deeper on that one, he got pushed, but then Guaita wasn't actually like close to stopping the ball reaching Mitchell. No. Like, of course, Willock being there caused Mitchell to not necessarily be focused on it and it bounced off him and goes in. But Willock colliding with Guaita didn't actually stop Guaita from saving the ball, whether that was intercepting the cross or after it came off Mitchell. And then you add on top of that the fact that Willock got pushed and that's why he collided with Guaita. It's just, everyone watching it saw that it was a mess. And then they come out afterwards and admit, yeah, we got it wrong, which fair play, they've held their hands up. But it's just like, well, how did you get it wrong in the moment then? Like, if you're saying that it was, you agree with what everyone else saw, then why did you not see it at the time?
It's like, you're a professional as well. Like, it's not like you're you are literally paid to do that. Like, that's your job. It's like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good example that's equivalent, but it's like
bringing out four tires for a pit stop.
Oh, if anyone's watched F1 this weekend, it's been absolutely fine. That's absolutely hilarious. So, yeah, for context, if you haven't watched F1, Ferrari decided to bring out only three tires for a pit stop of a car, which was just hilarious. But yeah, no, very good example there. I just don't really get it. I don't understand. I mean, there were so many like things, little things that were like similar as well. Like, I mean, I don't think it was a penalty, but it wasn't even looked at on VAR. But Aaron Hickey brought down, I don't know who, for Leeds in the Brentford Leeds game. And like, I think it started like outside the box. So in my opinion, it would have free kick. VAR didn't even look at it. It's like, surely that's what it's there for. Like, you're checking penalties. And it was, and it, I would say it was a foul. It's not like it wasn't. It was definitely, he's like pulling his shirt and then pulls him down. And then it's like, I feel like they should have at least checked it. Because, I mean, I don't think it was a penalty because it started outside the box, but there wasn't even like a VAR check or anything. It was just like, yeah, just won't go with that.
Well, it's this bar of clear and obvious, but I think they chose that wording because they were like, it's absolute, it's definitive, and it should enable some decisions to be checked and others not. But like with everything, there's like such a level of subjectivity to it that, as you say, that decision for Hickey, you feel like they should look at it. But then the decision with Bowen and Mendy, where they shouldn't have looked at it because they saw everything that happened. And it wasn't, you know, in the opinion of everyone else, a clear and obvious error. Yet they did look at it, but the Hickey one, they don't. It's just as Will Snook said, where's the consistency?
Where's the consistency?
There is none. So.
No, it is poor. Like, I'm just sick of it. Like, it was even like the one yesterday, the like Man United Arsenal one. Like, I don't even know really if I agreed with that one either. Like
the Marta, the Odegaard foul in inverted.
Yeah, foul, and he like, I mean, the referee can see it quite clearly, so surely he's made the decision that it's not a foul by looking at it. So why did they bring it back to be a foul later on in the gate? It's such a weird.
Is there any Martinelli ownership bias in this?
100%. That's not the point. But do you know what I mean? It's like, but surely it's quite clear and obvious. So the referee has a clear view of the. It's so like, for example, an offside is clear and obvious error because if you're offside and the referee doesn't see it, then obviously that's clear and obvious. But for him to see the foul, which I do think is a foul, I think Odegaard does foul him. But then is it clear and obvious? Because the referee's seen it. They've all bought in this new thing where like hard tackling's been bought in and, you know, they're getting away with more things. So then how can you bring it back for what is really not particularly hard or challenging foul? So,
no, I mean, it's definitely a soft foul. But I do think he impedes him unfairly. So
but then I remember like then you go I think it's like then how far back do you go because did they score off of, I missed the first
yeah so Odegaard minutes, won so. The ball and then I think he
passed it through
played someone else in who then played Martinelli
right okay
in. But literally they countered from that tackle
right.
So it was like a direct product of it but I think the other one with I do kind of empathize at the first time of viewing, because I watched the Villa City game live, I was like, come on, why have you not let play go on all the way before flagging? But then, you know, lots of people, including myself sometimes, complain about instances where defenders are running back towards their own goal, someone's offside, but they don't flag until the play's over. And it's like the defender could pull a muscle while running back towards goal when they don't need to, or the attacker gets in on goal and clashes with the keeper and the keeper gets injured and it could have been avoided if they flagged sooner. But it did just... So I do have empathy for them that they're trying to sometimes just trust themselves and their ability as linesmen. But this one, yeah, I don't know. It didn't seem clear to me that he was offside and at normal speed.
I mean, it's a joke. another game.
Well, I'm not convinced that Coutinho would have scored had they not blown the whistle. But it is just like, obviously, you don't know what could have happened. And the fact that he was then clearly onside just compounds it all. So,
I mean, the worst thing about it is like well, I don't know what offside he's calling. Like, there's not even like a clear offside that he has to call. Like, the ball is quite clearly paid backwards. I mean, it's quite clearly paid backwards by like quite a long way as well. It's not like it's
no. Really it's the I think it was going forwards, but it is. I don't know if you've seen it, but like Carragher and Neville went to the referee association. I don't know what, but they went to their preseason training basically and tried to call offsides themselves. And they set up all these different scenarios where the defenders are running out and the attackers running in and crossing over and all this sort of stuff. And the amount that they called wrong, which they thought were clear onsides or offsides one way or the other, was like actually really surprising. And I know obviously Carragher and linesmen Carragher and Neville aren't professional linesmen.
Yeah.
But I think it was a tough call. But yeah, I think you just let the
leave
play
it down.
Go on
exactly. Like the whole point of it is we leave the flag down. So just let the play run. It's so frustrating to see. It's just like. And then the thing that pisses me off the most is then they come out afterwards and like, oh yeah, we made a mistake. It's like, well, where's West Ham's point?
Yeah.
And where's Newcastle's 3 points?
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't think they're going to go down, but obviously West Ham where they are at the moment. What happens if West Ham miss out on get relegated by a point, or we'll go the other way, miss out on the Europa League by a point, miss out on the Champions League by a point? So I assume the Premier League officials will be paying out West Ham's Champions League fees for next year, or Newcastle's Champions League fees the way they're playing at the moment. But oh no, it's just we apologise. It's like me coming over to your house, stabbing you in the head, and going, "I'm sorry, mate."
I don't think it's quite.
I mean, it is.
I think
You know what? It's worse because they're missing out on millions of pounds. I'm just stabbing my mate. So
I think like we obviously like live in a culture where everyone wants accountability, and like these people are human at the end of the day, and they do make mistakes, and it is like I know they kind of are held to a higher standard because, as you said, they are professionals. But like I think. Whilst there is a lot riding on it, people can make mistakes, but so I don't think like anything more should be done about it. But at the same time, with VAR having been, is it like 3-4 seasons now that it's been in, it's still seemingly having issues more regularly than it should do. It's not every week like it used to be, but it's still certainly too regular than
I thought. I have thought of the solution though. They should have VAR, AR, so it's video assistant referee, assistant referee. So there's two people sat watching the referees make the mistakes, and then they go, "Oh no, sorry mate, you've made a mistake," and then they put it back. Then
second,
it's like a little chain. It's like a little chain reaction. So you've got like the big boss of the referees sat below the little boss of the referees.
Because that's definitely going to help adding more chefs, to
more
the
tears, adding more tears to the decision making will definitely help.
Yeah,
you heard it first. When we are all seeing VAR next year, as coined by FPL Dummy Tom, you'll be thanking me.
I look forward to it.
Thanks, mate. Actual football.
I was going to go into FPL, but I think I know why the average was so low.
Because no one owned Ivan Tony.
Well, because Daka, Solanke, Podence, Collins, Gomez, and Chilwell were some of the top scorers this week with, I think, probably only Tony, maybe Trossard and Rashford being owned by anyone.
Do you want a fun fact?
What's a fun fact?
I was listening to Planet FPL podcast earlier, and apparently Ben Chilwell was the first defender to come off of the bench and score a goal and make an assist ever.
Ever?
We're in the Premier League.
Pretty mental. That is a fun fact.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, it wasn't mine. It wasn't mine, it was James's, but I mean, taking full credit for it. Yeah, I mean, let's start where I want to start. Brentford 1-5-2 at Leeds. I mean, no, at Brentford. Ivan Tony is, honestly, God, just what an absolute ridiculous man.
Every single goal was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. That free kick. I knew he could take
a penalty. The penalty, like, he obviously takes good pens, but the free kick and the chip, like, to get to the position of the chip and then to, like, dink it over the two defenders running back.
I think it was lucky to get the ball but then the finish was just insane. But I will say, Sinisterra's goal. I mean, he absolutely had Ben Mee's pants right down, literally around his ankles, tripping over them. It was absolutely beautiful. Yeah, what a game.
Was it that beautiful for you?
To be honest, we were 3-1 up at that point, so I didn't care. But yeah, and Jesse March got sent off as well, which is absolutely hilarious. And then he literally, there's a video of him, he's like, he runs out of his technical area, he runs up to the linesman, he screams in the guy's face. And then after the match, he's talking about, like, they were like, oh, so like, why did you get sent off? And he's like, oh, I'm not sure. It's like, I'm pretty sure you know why you got sent off. Do you want to talk about your team?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch the game. Was trying to get certainly not an illegal stream up, but couldn't get one. And was incredibly frustrated by not seeing any notifications coming through of goals. But having watched the highlights, we did absolutely pepper Everton's goal, and Pickford just had an absolute worldie.
They also hit the post, though.
Yeah, we did hit the post a few times.
No. Everton hit the post.
Oh, yeah, they hit the post. They had a goal disallowed, obviously.
So, I mean, wasn't one-way traffic.
No,
sounds
it wasn't.
Like he could have got beat. But,
it wasn't. But basically, like, obviously Josh was like, oh, I'm getting rid of all Liverpool assets. And to be honest, I am strongly considering getting rid of Salah. But it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be in terms of, we've had lots of games this year where we've not really created anything. And it's been really frustrating to watch, because that's normally, like, you can normally take, if you're peppering a team's goal, the goalkeeper has a worldie, or, you know, any of that sort of scenario. But for a team that is usually pretty creative, to see us not coming up with much was much, much worse. So the fact that we did pepper their goal and just had one of those days where it wouldn't go in the back of the net, does kind of give me some comfort. But yeah, I think I will get rid of Salah. I don't know what you're thinking, but
nope. As I said last week, he is going to be staying on my team for the long term.
He's the GOAT.
I just don't, like, it's one of those where, fine, he's having a bad run of form at the moment. It won't continue. Like, Liverpool's bad run of form will not continue.
No. And as you say, it is only 6
Thiago's games back in training as well, I believe.
Okay. Well, it is only 6 game weeks in, but you can't see. Well, obviously,
Thiago back in training, Matip back. I mean, you're basically then back to a full starting 11. Nunez obviously back.
Yeah, I mean, the cream will separate from the rest of the crop. And so by the time we get to the end of the season, while Salah is kind of in amongst the top point scorers, he's not out clear on his own, he's in amongst them. Like, by the end of the season, you probably would expect him to have near 200 points. But I'm just looking at it, and I think, you know, even going to someone like KDB, you save yourself 0.8, and he has pretty much the same number of points as Salah. And I could see him keeping pace with Salah in terms of points returns across the season. Whereas, in all likelihood, even if Rodrigo hadn't got injured, he's probably not going to end up on 200 plus points this year. So I think there is value to be found elsewhere, basically.
Yeah, not sure. I at the moment, I'm sticking with him. I mean, I'm sticking with him. He got, what, is it Wolves away this week? Or Wolves at home?
Yeah, and then we have
Wolves at home.
Chelsea, City.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that during wildcard, I mean, potential wildcard coming up with, to bin off Liverpool assets for that run. But I mean,
yeah, we've got Wolves at home, which you'd think is going to be good. Chelsea away, Brighton at home, which is not going to be easy. Arsenal away, certainly not easy. And then City at home. And then even West Ham at home. So until mid to late October, we don't really have favourable fixtures. I mean, you would expect Liverpool to score goals in that time, and Salah to also score goals. But I don't know. Looking at City's run of fixtures, you can see them scoring every game. And yeah, De Bruyne has just been on absolute fire. So
yeah, he has. That pass for Haaland's goal against Villa was very nice. Yeah, Stevie G got a point. That was quite an exciting point there.
Yeah, good game to watch. enjoyed the I know, like everyone says, the character, but it's so easy to wilt when playing Man City, and Villa like stood up and, you know, managed to put their own passages of play together in the game and actually like attack City. Like, of course they were at home, but it was like a good display from them. And yeah, to get a point, I think only Newcastle are the only other team to take points of City this year. So
they are indeed.
Yeah, certainly a good showing.
We're going to do the pick of the bunch from these games, really, even though there was some good games. I'm going to skip over Bournemouth coming back from Nottingham Forest, even though that was a ridiculous comeback. But I'm going to jump on to Brighton absolutely dismantling Leicester. More interestingly, Brendan Rodgers, is he gone?
Let me just have a look at the league table, how far off they are.
They are bottom by 3 points.
Yeah, 3 points behind Forest. They've obviously had a pretty horrendous start, 5 losses, 1 draw.
The draw was first game of the season against Brentford as well, by the way, which they conceded from, they were 2-0 up.
That's just because Brentford are massive though, isn't it?
I just mean that they were 2-0 up and they've still ended up with just a draw.
Yeah.
And 5 losses in those games. I mean, that's shocking.
So they've certainly not had an easy start. They've played Arsenal, who won 5 on the bounce. They've played Southampton, who, okay, you might expect them to get at least a point there, if not 3, especially at home. Then gone away to Chelsea, then had a resurgent United team. And, you know, Brighton, are Brighton in the top 4 this year? Yeah, Brighton are 4th.
I think they are,
So they've certainly not had an easy start, in the same way that when we spoke about Gerrard the other week, like, of course, it's not been good, but you'd expect in these next 5 games, they have Leicester, Villa at home, go away to Spurs. Forest at home, you'd expect certainly 3 points. Bournemouth away, another 3 points, and then Palace at home. So if at the end of those games, they're still planted at the foot of the table or not made much progress, then yeah, I can see them coming under some pressure. But I think for the time being, like, you've just got to give them some time, basically. Saw Gerrard put out such a performance that they did against City. Like, they're not terrible managers, so yeah, give them some time.
I think if Brendan doesn't get more than a point in the next few games, he might go.
Gives
the new manager Nottingham Forest and Bournemouth to start his new reign in.
But this is the thing, like, are you okay? Maybe Villa, but are you really going to judge Leicester on losing to Spurs away, a team that's challenging for the top four this year? I know Leicester 2 seasons ago were challenging for the top four, but
fine. Maybe if he gets less than a point in the next 3 games, so if he doesn't get anything from Forest, then they sack him before Bournemouth.
Yeah, I don't know. It's obviously like a consideration that you want to give the new manager the best chance of success, but I think that's so harsh to look at it like, okay, we're going to sack him. When's a good time to sack him? To give the new manager easy fixtures? Like, surely if he doesn't do well with the easy fixtures, then I don't know. I just think it's a bit harsh, but such is the Premier League nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, but if they're bottom after, they would, if they got 1 point for the next 3 games, it would be bottom.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly not a good state of affairs. But, you know, West Ham are 18th and they've spent like 150 mil or something this summer. So
true. But they also have, I mean, in agreement, they've also had a very, very bad first few games.
But, like, do you think there's any possibility of Moyes losing his job?
No, because they've looked much better in the last couple of games.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I didn't see how Leicester played in those games, so I've just seen their results.
They should have got a point against Chelsea, to be honest. So
yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, no, I know where you're coming from. I'm just playing devil's advocate, mate. Just being the little dickhead that not gives like you me. a bit of a Oh, you're funny. Final game of the week: United beating Arsenal 3-1. United's invincible season's over. No, sorry, Arsenal's invincible season's over. What a shame. Oh. Got it.
So close,
but yet so far only 32 games away and actually have now played a game in the top half, now played a team in the top half, yeah, of the league and not beaten them. So yes, unfortunately Arsenal are still Arsenal. That's really bitter. That sounds really bitter. I mean, still I've really enjoyed watching Arsenal so far. Yeah, United were very good. Did you watch it?
I didn't get to watch it live, but Neville was saying that he's not sure, like he can't tell you why, like what the difference is between United yesterday and against Liverpool versus United against Brentford and against Brighton.
We're massive. That's the main thing. So,
well, he's just saying, like, of course they've turned it around, and he's happy that they have, but he can't say why. And I'm like, because they got pumped 4-0 by Brentford, and he said, if you don't, then, like, on your head be it, basically. And they've actually pulled their finger out and responded. Like, it's pretty much the same group. Like, of course they brought in Antony and Jadon Sancho, and they've both played well so far this season, but it's pretty much the same group of players that finished second under Ole and second under Mourinho, minus like Pogba and Lukaku and all those sorts of players. Like they're not bad players, but they've just...
I don't want to get too excited. They've won three games in a row?
Four
games in a row. And I mean, apart from the Liverpool and Arsenal games, I think the other two weren't impressive.
No.
I mean, to be honest, the Liverpool game wasn't particularly impressive, I didn't think. I didn't think they were that good. They broke a couple of times. They played, I mean, it was, the tactics were good. They played the game well, but they didn't look good. I mean, Arsenal were, I saw an amazing gif of yesterday's game, the Arsenal game. Do you remember the clip in Indiana Jones where there's the swordman, he's like spinning all the swords around and he's like doing all the tricks and stuff? And then Indiana Jones pulls out the gun and shoots him. He was like, Arsenal is the guy with the sword yesterday. Like he looked unbelievable. And United was Indiana Jones, like just shot him square in the chest. Because they were just clinical on the break. But I mean, they actually looked shit.
Well, and they, like, against Leicester and Southampton, they've ground out 1-0 wins. Like, it's not really been swashbuckling stuff. So, you know, it's better because
it's progress.
They obviously lost the first two games and quite convincingly at that. So they are improving. But it was quite funny. Like, Roy Keane literally goes from, these players are shit, get them out of my club, to now he's like, they're going to finish in the top four. And he was literally like singing their praises and everything. And to be fair to him, Gary Neville was actually quite measured and he was like, well, I think they'll finish fifth. They've still got quite a way to go. They got put to, as you said, there's still 32 games to go. And these first four that they've won aren't going to define their season. So they've got to keep it up and actually get better. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they do indeed. FPL-wise, you had a stink of a week.
Yeah, I mean, I hate doing it, but I nearly brought in Tony. I nearly brought in Rashford. The key thing being, I didn't. So
the hindsight merchant is back again.
Exactly. Yeah, I basically, Tom and I were both on Perisic and decided to shift to Trippier, literally the reverse of the move we made 2 or 3 weeks ago. So that paid off. But yeah, I basically would have needed to take a -4 to, well, I could have just dropped Kulusevski, but I wanted to bring in Tony, getting rid of my 4.5 bench fodder striker, which would have meant taking a -4. And I just thought, I'll wait till the game week after. I shouldn't have, but there you are. I literally, you know, it's bad when you're relying on returns from Nico Williams.
And he got a return as well, didn't he? Yeah. So
devastating. I mean, obviously they ended up conceding another two after that, but like that billing strike was literally just like a 30-yard screamer, and it's like, clean sheet wipe out from that is just so gutting.
They then did concede another two goals.
They
after
then
that,
did capitulate.
What do you want? A really funny one on the Trippier one. Oh, firstly, let's talk about our genius on the Trippier move. We had him for the first three game weeks. We then binned him for Perisic, who got, what, a 14-pointer?
Yep.
He then got a 1-pointer, but we won't talk about that. And then we binned him off again and got in Kieran Trippier for 8 points. I mean, I'm just saying we're geniuses. Do you want to know what's something really funny, though? So people who've listened to the podcast for a long time, there's very few of you, will know that obviously we had an old podcast host who may be joining us in the coming weeks, Josh. As you were aware, last week I said to people not to get Trippier in for the Liverpool game, which obviously I was correct. But then I said I probably wouldn't get him for the Palace game or get him for the game afterwards. So anyway, I was persuaded to get Trippier in this week. But I did advise Josh not to get in Trippier, who didn't get in Trippier and stuck with Perisic. And he is not going to lie, absolutely fuming. He was not happy with me. I think his words were, I think it's text me, and I'll read out to the listeners. You little weasel, you got in Trippier. I don't believe you brought him in. You told me Trippier wouldn't get a clean sheet this week. You weasel.
Yeah, but you also said that you wanted to stick with Mbeumo for the season and not Tony. And I was like, Tony is obviously going to score more. And so then when you posted on the chat, like, Tony have my babies, I was like, oh, he's just buzzing that Brentford are winning. And then I look at your team and you've got him in. I was just like, you're honestly the slipperiest of snakes. Just like,
but you knew I got Tony because I took out Reece James. Honestly, the only reason I managed to get to Tony was Reece James' illness. So thank you very much, Reece James, for having an ill belly, my friend, an icky tummy. You absolutely saved my bacon because you managed to get me. I mean, you got me in Dunk.
You got rid of James like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's when I brought in Tony.
Oh, did you? I didn't realize. Yeah. I thought you literally brought him in this week.
No, okay. Well, I mean, obviously, it's only been a week, so
I can allow that a bit more because he did get a one pointer the week before.
I did suffer a one pointer at Palace, but fortunately, I got a 17-pointer this week. I was very happy. Captain Haaland, as you did as well, which was obviously worked out very well because you never back the early kickoff. Gandhi said it.
It is on a black background somewhere in the world.
Exactly. I mean,
never back the early kickoff.
But other than that, I literally only got 3 returns myself. Tony, Haaland on captain and Trippier. So, but I still managed to get a 12k place rise up until the top 5k. So
did you end up in the top 5k?
I did end up in the top 5k. 4,961st place I'm at the moment.
You really should have told the people at home that at some point.
Honestly, I tweeted it so much that they were fucking bored of me. Honestly,
I'm bored of you.
You know what? I'm happy to admit it. Injected. I did it only for likes and reactions. And you know what? I fucking got them. I'm doing very well. I'm very happy with myself.
Cast the nets and raked it in.
Absolutely. Snogmare Avoid.
Yeah. So if you've not listened before, and if you have, but aren't sure, given that we talk about it every week, a snog is a short-term pick that we think is worthwhile. Marry is someone slightly longer term than that, maybe the whole season. And then Avoid is someone that we see lots of people talking about or transferring in, and we disagree with. So your snog this week is
very, very left field. I'm going with Jared Bowen. He's done sweet FA this year.
Apart from cancel out West Ham's equaliser on the weekend.
Yeah, he's done absolutely nothing. He is currently, currently he's got a two-pointer, a three-pointer, a two-pointer, and a two-pointer. West Ham aren't shit. West Ham are a good side.
Well, he is 2 points more than a good side. They're massive.
West Ham are massive. Their run of fixtures for the next 5 are very good. I think this week's obviously a tough one. Newcastle at home, but then they've got Everton away, Wolves at home, Fulham at home, Southampton away. Then they've got Liverpool and then Bournemouth. So, I mean, if you keep them for the Liverpool-Bournemouth, I just think it's a really good... Jared Bowen last year was unbelievable. Obviously, at the moment, he's not picked up that form. He's not been sort of quite there yet. But we all know the player he can be. I think it's a really... He's actually dropped... He was 8.5 to start the season, wasn't he?
He was.
Is that right? He's dropped down to 8.1. So actually, all I'm seeing right now is the easy move from Luis Diaz to Jared Bowen, and it's squaring me square in the face. I'm just like, I sort of really want to do it. Really tempted to, especially with the change of fixtures in like a couple of weeks' time for Liverpool. I'm really tempted. They've not been amazing, but I feel like West Ham will kick on. I mean, now they've got, I don't know how you say his name, Paqueta. Well, apparently not, according to many football people. No. I always thought it was Paqueta as well, but apparently it's Paqueta.
There you go.
Well, who knows, eh? But yeah, I really like it. I think they will become good. I think he's a brilliant player and he will score goals. And with those fixtures coming up, I mean, apart from the Nottingham Forest game in game week 2, they've had tough fixtures. They've had City, Brighton, Villa away, not really, Tottenham and Chelsea.
Yeah, I just think what's happened is Jarrod Bowen is allergic to being priced so highly, and what he's trying to do is play really badly so that everyone transfers him out and he ends up back at like a 6.5 priced player. And once he's priced at 6.5, he'll then start scoring again. And everyone will actually want to own him because he's actually quite a nice price, whereas at 8.5, no one was going to own him. So I think that's his game plan.
So you reckon that like until January, he'll be shit? and then he'll bag 12 goals and 17 assists again for next year. Same as last year, but can't wait.
The second half of the season.
I think it's an interesting move. It's one definitely to look at if you're on Saka, Kulusevski, even Luis Diaz with the change of fixtures coming up. It's just interesting for me. But there you go. Just a punt. That's why we have Snogs.
Yeah, it's certainly a punt. And as you say, the fixtures are turning for them. I think the important thing to note is that the first three games, West Ham didn't score at all, whereas they're now starting to find the net. And they've not played bad defences at all in those past three games. So, okay, maybe Villa, but they've scored against Spurs. They've scored against Chelsea now. They should have had two against Chelsea. And whilst Bowen wasn't directly involved in those goals, apart from the second one, you'd think it's only a matter of time. I personally wouldn't, but I can see the appeal. So, someone who I do see the appeal in, though, and I know Tom already hates this pick, and it's going to sound incredibly bandwagon-y, but it did take me until this weekend to realise why have we not spoken about him sooner. And it's Alexis McAllister. So, of course, he did get 14 points in the last game against Leicester, which has taken him into the top points. He's third in midfielders for this season, and he's only priced at 5.6. But he has got three double-digit hauls now. He could have had a hat-trick against Leicester. And I can't remember the incident entirely, but I was pretty convinced that it was another VAR mess up and it should have been allowed to stand. So in which case you're probably looking at, he did get three bonus. So you're looking at 19 points. Surely it's more than that. Three goals would have been 15 plus two. I don't know. Anyway, he got yellow carded, that's why. But yeah, he's 5.6. He played every game. Is on pens, has got four goals already, no assists as yet, but Brighton are playing absolutely incredibly so far. As I said earlier, they're fourth in the league. So I think for the fixtures that they've got, I currently own Sanchez, but they've got Bournemouth away next up, so you'd expect them to score lots of goals there. Then Palace at home, they do have then Liverpool and Spurs, but I think certainly for the next two games and maybe even beyond that, Alexis McAllister is definitely worth a punt at 5.6.
Nope, hate it.
Are you going to back that up at all?
Yeah, I am actually. I know a Brighton fan on Twitter, and his words were, he sent a tweet yesterday, which was quite entertaining. Someone direct messaged him saying, McAllister is a two-week punt, ? And he replied with, he's a great player, but not amazing for FPL. Playing deeper this season, and the only way he's scoring is from a long shot or penalty. And he tweeted that saying, sorry, mate. Because he scored.
Yeah.
Free kick. It could have been a long shot as well. And penalty. Obviously, he is on penalties. For me, the main issue with the Brighton attackers is they're not scoring that many goals. I know they scored five against Leicester, but Leicester have been pretty woeful. But when you compare like what they've actually had over this year, they've not been fantastic going forward. I mean, they scored, what was it, five goals in five games they'd had. And there's a lot of teams that are scoring more freely than them. Leeds is one, I'd say, actually. Even though they've scored less goals than them overall, they've scored goals more consistently. I mean, the five goals, it's the same, I guess, you could look at Liverpool. The nine goals against Bournemouth and City, I'm not going to talk about because obviously they're just a joke. But the five goals from Leicester skews it. So they're actually, it'd be six goals in five games. Leeds are 10 goals in six. I know it sort of seems a bit backwards because they did score five goals, but they were playing Leicester, who looked atrocious. I mean, they looked so bad, so, so bad. And I just don't think, I think if you're going to pick a Leicester attacker, then you'd pay a bit more money and go Trossard.
Yeah, I mean, Trossard is just... too inconsistent for me. I've been burned by him quite a few years now. You just can never really predict when he's going to score points. Like, I think he scores points when you least expect it and not when you most expect it. He's also scored fewer points than McAllister this year. I just think Gross obviously started the season at 5.5, same as McAllister, is now 6 million, is owned by nearly 30% of people, but only has three more points. I know you mentioned the other week that he's kind of playing as a striker.
Although, well, he didn't on the weekend. He didn't on right the weekend, back.
But yeah, I just think as a punt, around that sort of price bracket, I just don't think there's anyone that really rivals him. And I think I was going to play my wild card this week, but I didn't want to knee jerk too much after having a bad week. So I decided to hold fire a bit, and hopefully in a week or two's time, I'll still be able to get to McAllister. He's not risen in price too much by that point. But I currently have De Silva and Pereira. Missed the boat on both of their returns, really. So I don't really need to have both of them. I can afford to invest some money getting up to McAllister. So, yeah.
I mean, if you're going to go with the McAllister punt, I think you do it this week.
Yeah, true, with Bournemouth coming up.
Bournemouth and then Palace. I mean, and then because then you've got Liverpool, Tottenham. So
yeah. But yeah, I think as a punt, I don't think it's...
But he's cheap. He's cheap enough to make it punty enough that it doesn't really matter, does it? If he does well, it's 5.6 mil. So
yeah.
Marries. I'm gonna go with Wesley Fofana. Not gonna lie, Chelsea have been absolute. I'm just picking players who've been absolutely shit this year. Picking teams have been terrible. Chelsea's defense has been absolutely atrocious this year. Absolutely shocking. However, Wesley Fofana cost Chelsea £70 million and he's 4.4 in FPL. I mean, if a £17 million player is going to sit on the bench, then Chelsea have got some serious issues. That's serious issues there. I mean, they are seriously spending money for absolute shit all. I think he's not going to play every game because obviously you've got Champions League, but he's going to play a good amount of games. They've got Fulham next, then they've got Liverpool, Palace, Wolves, and it goes on further than that, but I'll quickly grab it up. But yeah, I mean, he's a £4.4 million defender. Oh yeah, the run of games is ridiculous, actually. Fulham away, Liverpool at home, Crystal Palace away, Wolves at home, Aston Villa away, Brentford away, Man United at home, Brighton away, and then you've got Arsenal and Newcastle up, and then you've got the World Cup. That's a really lovely run. I mean, a £4.4 million. He's a centre-back as well, so you'd imagine they're not going to bring on a centre-back mid-game, are they? I mean, you bring on the wing-backs get swapped, but the centre-backs don't really often. So even if he doesn't play, I feel like you've got a player that's not going to come on.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly for 4.4, I don't know exactly, I don't have to hand how many people own Ben White, but for example, I do. Only 5%, to be fair, so it's probably not the best analogy, but you have a 4.4 defender who has the potential to play a good number of games for one of the best, traditionally, defences in the league. They've not had the best start to the season, but if you've got a route into a Chelsea defence for 1.6, cheaper than Reece James, for example, he's not going to have the same attacking output necessarily, but you're kind of getting that with the price. So, I don't hate it. Certainly to sit on the bench. And as authoritative as my opinion is, we hear the crackle of thunder behind me. I've spoken.
All right, Zeus, calm yourself down.
So to follow up that absolutely groundbreaking commentary I've just provided, my Mary is going to be Gabriel Jesus. He is the seventh most transferred out player this week. And I would say I can understand why, but I can't really. He's got six goal involvements, and we've played six goals games so far this season. Obviously, Haaland is an absolute freak with... Has he got just the one assist? He's certainly got 10 goals in these six games so far, which is just ridiculous. But for an £8 million asset to have pretty much a goal involvement per game, one of the top scoring forwards in the game, and with the fixtures that they've got coming up... I just don't see why you wouldn't hold him. There's not really too many alternatives. I mean, the only thing, obviously, Mitrovic has played well this season, scored goals more than I expected. So people could be dropping to him. People could be dropping to Tony. But I think you've surely just got to hold, especially when he's 78% owned. If he does score, that's just your rank muddied. In the same way that I was saying, you know, I own him. And to a certain extent, I wasn't wanting him to score on Sunday because it wasn't really going to do anything for me. If he's got a week where he's playing, I don't know, who have they got?
Everton and Brentford next.
Brentford away. Like, that's such an easy game.
To be fair, no, I was actually going to say defensively we've been pretty poor. Yeah. Like, I mean,
but if half the game captains him and he then scores, you're going to be absolutely screwed. So it's a bit of a shield move rather than an attacking one. But at the same time, I still think he does have the potential to be beneficial to your team, not just kind of protecting you against other people. He literally blanked against Man United and Fulham, and that's it. Apart from, well, first game against Palace, but you know, he's chipped in every other game. So by that logic, next game he's gonna score or assist. So yeah, I would keep Jesus certainly for the long term. Obviously, if this perceived dry spell goes on any longer, then get rid. But for the time being, I'd certainly hold him.
No, fair enough. Yeah, I agree. I'm holding him. I will be for a long period of time because he had Varane on absolute strings yesterday. Couldn't cope with him at all.
That's the thing. He's actually played really well this year as well. It's not just he scored goals. Like, he's actually looked really, you know, up for it. So
yeah. Right, avoids my favourite section as per normal. I'm going to start with... I'm actually going to get out the dictionary for this part of my thing. Cam, the Oxford Dictionary defines knee-jerk as Antony for Man United. because what the fuck are people doing? Like, the amount of people that have brought him in after getting one goal is absolutely ludicrous.
How much of the game did he play?
He played...
He didn't play 50, that whole.
No, he played 57 minutes because he came off before the 60-minute mark. He only got 6 points, even though he scored, and he's a midfielder. So... pretty average. 275,000 people have bought him in. Now, I'm going to make you all aware there's a player that costs £1 million less, who is also a midfielder, who plays for the same team and is currently playing up front. His name is Marcus Rashford. What the fuck are you all lot doing? Now, to be fair, Marcus Rashford has been bought up by 540,000 people. But the 275,000 people that bought in Antony, please get your head checked because you have literally lost the plot. Why would you get in a player? So he's not, I mean, never played in the Prem before. Yes, he scored a goal. Goal was a relatively good finish. That's the only, from what I remember, really the only involvement he had in the game. Rashford was an absolute joke yesterday. I thought he looked really, really good. 2 goals and assist. He's 6.5 million. Why would you get an Antony when you can get a £1 million cheaper player in Marcus Rashford, who has proven in the Premier League, who in previous seasons... oh God, it's actually ridiculous. All right, apart from last season where he had an absolute stinker and was injured for a lot of the season. 11 goals, 11 assists, 2021. 17 goals, 8 assists, 19-20. 10 goals, 7 assists, 18-19. You're all idiots. Well, sorry. I lied. 275,000 people of you are idiots. The rest of you, get in fucking Marcus Rashford instead. If you want a Man United player, that is.
I'd also be even inclined to throw Jadon Sancho's hat in the ring ahead of Antony.
Yeah.
Already had his first season in the Prem, which obviously wasn't good, but has started much better this year, is started every game, I think, so far. And yeah, isn't quite as cheap as Rashford is compared to Antony, but he is still a saving. I think he's 7.3. The jury is still out on him. Obviously, Ten Hag likes him. That's why they spent nearly a record amount of money on him. And he has started well with that first goal, but yeah, I don't think it's fair to say that the bubble will burst, but United are obviously playing like on inspiration at the minute, and that's not necessarily going to last all year. So I think owning any more than just Rashford or just Sancho is a lot. Because I think, yeah, they're certainly getting ahead of Antony at the minute. So if you're getting both, then it's like that's a bit much. So
Yeah, I think the only thing I would say on Rashford, though, is that he did come off a little bit of a niggle at the end of the last game. So just wait until after the Europa League games and see what happens and just go with that. And the final thing on that is, so Marcus Rashford plays through the middle and he mainly plays off the left, yeah?
Yeah.
Jadon Sancho plays off the right mainly, yeah? Although he's playing off the left currently. So when Martial's fit, who was playing really well in pre-season, Jadon Sancho potentially goes back to the right, Marcus Rashford goes to the left, and he drops to the bench.
Well, the only thing is...
there's rotation there.
It'd be interesting to... that's the only thing. There's certainly rotation. What I was going to say, as Ten Hag did say after the game, is that both Sancho and Rashford, and even Martial, whilst they all like to play centrally, if they don't play centrally, they play off the left, and that's their better position, whereas Antony, being left-footed, generally plays off the right. So I think your point about rotation is the more important one, because I think actually if he is going to play everyone in their best positions, then Antony probably isn't the one that's subject to rotation because of, Ten Hag seeing him as his best right winger. He literally said he's the missing link, like he's the player that we've been needing down that side. So I think maybe, yeah, in a lesser game, he could start one of those guys on the right and Antony doesn't play. But I think on the whole, he is actually going to feature. It's just whether he's going to be productive or not.
I'd say if you do want Antony, probably wait until he blanks this week and he drops down to 7.4 million when those 275,000 people have taken him out of their team and he drops again. So
when then you get then spelled S-A-N-C-H-O.
Wait, sorry, what? S?
Sancho.
Oh.
My avoid, I'm taking a break on Mitrovic because he scored again. So
if you stop, he will be shit again. Then you'll go back onto him and then he'll be really good again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still of the opinion that he has this spell. Like, this is obviously a better spell than he's ever had before in the Prem, but he has a spell where he's inspired at the start of the season and then drops off. And I think he will drop off. He's not even my avoid, and I'm somehow saying to avoid him. But
love it.
Who I am saying to avoid is Jordan Pickford. There wasn't really anyone that really stood out to me. So he is kind of what I've settled on. He obviously is playing quite well, made lots of saves against Liverpool and has kept Everton in lots of games this year and therefore is racking up save points. But Everton are just very leaky. They've conceded in every game apart from Liverpool so far this season. And at 4.5, I think you can just own David Raya or Robert Sanchez. Sanchez is now 4.7, to be fair. But yeah, I just think that those keepers have a better chance of keeping clean sheets and have better fixtures coming up. Everton go away to Arsenal, then have West Ham at home, away to Southampton, Man United at home, Tottenham, Newcastle away, like until late October. That's a really tough run, and Pickford will pick up save points and maybe even a clean sheet or two along the way, but I just think that there are better goalkeepers priced at the same price who are better picks. So yeah, I would avoid Jordan Pickford and Mitrovic. Shoehorn that one in there.
Shoot, absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. I mean, we're talking goalkeepers, so should we move on to the next segment and then we can continue to talk about goalkeepers?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you listened to us a few weeks ago, we introduced a new segment called Problem Children. This is a player who is causing serious problems for serious amounts of teams. And so we're here to give you our best advice on what to do with those problem children. Kick them straight out of your team. And who would you kick them out for? So what we usually go for is a downgrade, someone that you could drop to, someone around the similar price, and an upgrade, someone you could go to. So the problem child this week is Edouard Mendy, because he has been shite. I mean, David De Gea popping on wrists is, I mean, Mendy might be taking over the crown from that one. He's been absolutely shite, hasn't he?
Mendy, I've just looked, he actually has a flag of a shoulder injury. I wonder if it's from Bowen kicking. Like, can you imagine that, how much he's had to play that one up in order? So bad.
Had to get tips from Rodrigo on shoulder injuries.
He's been certainly very underwhelming. He was my keeper for the start of the season. I thought that him and Chelsea were going to be way better than they have been. But they've conceded in every game apart from the first against Everton. One, I think, So, you know, I got 7 points then, but ever since then, it's just been pure pain. Their fixtures do get nicer after after this week, except for the Liverpool game, which at this rate actually is an easy game. So, but yeah, I got rid of him last week or the week before for Robert Sanchez. So there's a giveaway for someone that you could downgrade to is Robert Sanchez from Mendy's.
So your downgrade would be Robert Sanchez, is that right?
It would be Sanchez. It would be, as I said, David Raya. I think those two are probably the standout, especially at 4.5. Dean Henderson is 4.7, but
I don't like the Dean Henderson one.
No, he's made two penalty saves.
Yeah, exactly. The penalty saves really.
And he's going to face a lot of shots this year, but yeah, he's not a world-beating keeper. I think he's going to face a lot of shots, concede a lot of goals. So
probably have a tantrum like he did when he left United. So
probably.
So yeah, downgrade Sanchez or Raya. I would probably go Sanchez as well with you on that one. If I could pick, I think Brentford's defensive frailties at the moment, missing two of the centre backs, is probably not the best time to go to Navad. Around the same price, I mean, there's two standouts. The boat's at top of the leaderboards at the moment. I think the obvious one's Nick Pope. It's 5.1, so obviously it's a 0.1 upgrade on it. So we'll call him the upgrade, and then we'll call Jose Sarr the similarity. They've kept clean sheets wise. Jose Sarr has kept four clean sheets. Also made a penalty save.
Three.
But 4 and 6, very, very strong. Three. And Nicholas... Sorry?
He's kept three clean sheets. But he's had one penalty save in there.
Right. Ah, well, I mean, they've both had three clean sheets then.
But still, 50% clean sheet percentage is...
Very good.
Yep.
Muy bien. So yeah, I think both of them are very good options. Especially for me people are now talking about wildcarding coming up. But generally just for going forward, I mean, Nick Pope could be in your team for a long time. As we've said many times, he's our England number one, isn't he? So
oh yeah. Clear.
And I mean anyone above that, I wouldn't even bother.
Well, the thing is that I think Liverpool haven't kept clean sheets this year, so for that reason, I think Alisson gets ruled out. We've had two. He's a good shot stopper, but yeah. And then coupled with that, realistically, you're going to have three Liverpool assets already outfield. And then that is the reason why I think Edison is excluded, because I think he keeps more clean sheets this season, maybe faces less shots, but City defensively, I think, are better than Liverpool this year. But you've probably got three City assets, or maybe two already. So I think he gets kind of ruled out for that reason. So yeah, we'll call Pope our upgrade this week, and Jose Sarr is his equal
replacement.
Going to go for. So
yeah, I like it. I mean, yeah, Edison's actually only kept three clean sheets so far this season as well.
Yeah, that is true. And obviously conceded three against Newcastle, two against Palace. But yeah, one more than Alisson, so.
Yeah, and that's this week's problem child. This week, your captain, I am struggling.
Yeah, I've got it on Haaland at the minute, but I think that is literally just left over from last game week. Can I bring myself to captain Salah? Wolves at home is just...
tough.
Well, it's a tough game, but it really should warrant it. But then at the same time, he hasn't been that bad. Like, he has got 12, 8 and 10 this season, either side of blanks. But, oh, Haaland is just on such good form. And I'm even tempted by Tony. I know, like, honestly, he's skewed.
You've taken us away from him.
Well, if anything, it actually vindicates your position more, because it's not the bias of being a bloody bee.
No, it's. I think it's a good captaincy this week.
Away against Southampton.
I honestly do. We've been scoring literally for fun. We've scored the third most goals this season. Joint with Liverpool. And bear in mind, they got a 9-0 pasting in there as well. So, yeah, we've scored more goals than Arsenal this year.
And Ivan Toney, bloody massive, so.
And Ivan Toney is playing bloody massively and incredibly well. I'm really tempted by it. Oh, this thing is, the problem is, I don't really like Haaland. I want to see what happens in the Champions League. It's hard for us to sell before Champions League, obviously, with Salah and Haaland. What's going to happen if Haaland plays 60 minutes against... they got Marseille this week. If Haaland plays 60 minutes, I will be captain Haaland because that just logically makes sense. Because I will then be pretty sure that he will start against Tottenham because that's a big game for them. Can I see Haaland scoring against Tottenham? Yes, I can. If Haaland plays a full 90 against Marseille, I could be very swayed by Toney. Yes.
City are top of everything, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's disgusting.
Haaland 10 goals, De Bruyne 4 assists, City 20 goals, and then 4,455 passes, which is nearly 800 more than Liverpool, who are in second.
They have conceded more goals, though. They've conceded more goals than... No, City, generally. I used the top of everything.
Oh, right. Got you. I don't know. I think, ultimately, it's probably between Salah and Haaland, but... Yeah, I think...
And Toney.
Waiting until midweek is probably the call. Yeah. In all realness, I am going to just go with Ivan, so...
Fair. La Ligue. Oh, guess who's back top?
Some prick called Tom.
Yeah, you're right. And he's a prick. I am back top of the league. Suck it, John Oggs. Sorry, John, if you're listening. That was a bit uncalled for, but I don't care. I'm bloody massive. Who has scored our most points this week?
I think it's Owen.
Yeah. Owen.
I'm just having a look through.
Owen Lerney, half past Ten Hag. I do like the team name. 80 points. Of course, he's got Rashford. He triple captained Haaland.
Ooh, blimey.
Thiago Silva, 8-pointer. Alisson, 8-pointer. Rashford with 18 points. And Mbeumo with 8 and a triple captain on Haaland. That is a big old score.
Mega fuming with the Trent 59th minute.
Oh, he can piss off. So Klopp, honestly, stupid. Doing my right head in now, isn't he? Yeah, that was the high score this week, wasn't it? Owen Lerney, that was a very good score. What is Klopp playing at? I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I think like Josh made the point that because so many people own him, it probably didn't actually do too much, but just for the sake of
it would have been a bit of gain, though. We still would have got a bit of gain, yeah. Yeah, and that's about it, really, for the week. Is that all we've got time for?
Yeah, I'm just having a look to see his effective... Yeah, it was 78%, so it would have been
a little something.
Haaland was 181%.
Honestly, disgusting, isn't it? Honestly, just disgusting.
He's become the new Jesus that you've just got to, one, have him in, and then, second, captain him, because if he does do anything, then it's just absolute pain. But yes, you are right. What's the league code?
The league code, thank you, is BJ3GEE, and you feel free to continue to join us. We're now at quite a lot of people,
isn't it?
128 people, but feel free to come join us. We probably will close off the league at some point, probably round end of October. But if you do join, there's a chance to win a prize. Could be shit, could be good.
I really hope you win it, and then I'm going to send you... something horrendous.
A piece of shit, like a literal piece of shit. Literally. Like, you want to post, you want to go for a poo and post it to me. Yeah. Would that count as, like, would that be illegal?
I imagine it's probably not looked kindly upon by the authorities, but whether it's illegal or not.
That would be the best present ever for you to send me, your incarceration.
Send you the newspaper clipping of man sent to prison.
Yeah, man sent to prison, just you there, like, oh. And they can't find a picture of you, so they use your Twitter. They use your Twitter picture.
Yeah, me just looking rather bemused. But yeah, that is all we've got time for. It feels weird. Ooh. We've actually got more than 2 days before the next game week.
If you heard that, that was Cam/Zeus throwing a bit more thunder on my way.
Oh, yeah, I said that's all we've got time for, so the thunder boomed around my voice.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It feels weird. More than 2 days to prepare for the next game week. I don't know what to do with myself. But yeah, hope you all have a good week. Enjoy the return of European football. I know I'm looking forward to watching some Sweet the Champions.
And you can follow us on Twitter.
Yes, yeah, FPL Dummy Cam, FPL Dummy Tom, and the main pod is FPL by Dummies. So follow us on Twitter, and we'll see you back here this time next week. Bye.
Bye.